Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we'll be having a giveaway for sandwiches or salads from Urbane Cafe a little bit later in the show, just in time for lunch today. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is overcoming setbacks. Each of my guests will explain how we can overcome setbacks, either as a country, individually, or in our finances. My first guest is a journalist who believes America's problems are smaller than the rest of the world's, but believes we need to be jolted out of complacency and motivated to bold action. We'll discuss his thoughts from his book, Adrift. My second guest is a remarkable woman who'll share her secrets to overcoming the odds to achieve what you want. She overcame total paralysis from a devastating double brainstem stroke, and she'll teach us how she was paralyzed but not powerless from her book of the same name. My third guest is the antidote to CNBC, Fox Business, and Bloomberg. He's the watchdog on Wall Street, and we'll discuss his no-nonsense approach to our current financial situation. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Stephen Beschloss is an award-winning journalist and filmmaker who has written about business, economics, urban affairs, and international affairs in the New York Times, the New Republic, the Chicago Tribune, the San Francisco Chronicle, Parade Magazine, and many others. Chosen Journalist of the Year in Virginia and honored for his writing by the American Society of Journalists and Authors, Stephen was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for examining the boom and bust in the southern United States. He's a Chicago native and the father of two young daughters. Steve has lived and worked in St. Louis, London, Helsinki, Moscow, and Los Angeles, among other United States cities. He's a graduate of Haverford College. He earned a master's degree at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, and he spent a year studying economic and social history in the Graduate School of the London School of Economics. His latest book, co-written with William Harris, is titled Adrift, Charting Our Course Back to a Great Nation. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you today?
I'm great, and it's good to be with you, Bill.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest. And let's just dive right into it, because a recent Reuters poll was taken, and it showed that 73% of Americans feel the country is on the wrong track. Furthermore, another 47% feel that the worst is yet to come. So if this poll is accurate, and the sentiment of the American people is just what they say it is, we're on the wrong track, why aren't our politicians listening to the message?
Well, that's an excellent question. I mean, it's been kind of an ongoing problem, obviously, for a number of decades. I mean, obviously, we have been working on this book for some years, and we, you know, titled it Adrift. So we obviously had a sense the country was had lost its way and was moving in the wrong direction. Anybody who watched the debt ceiling debate over the last several months has sort of seen what level of divisiveness and bitterness is going on in Washington. This level of dysfunction has actually created this climate where Americans have begun to doubt whether actually we have a political system that's able to solve problems. And, where else but in Washington is cooperation and collaboration seen as a dirty word?
Well, that's very true, and that's very well said. Well, Steve, let's look at it this way. I want to change the thinking just a little bit here, because many United States citizens believe in what we call American exceptionalism, that the United States, we are exceptional people. So I guess, first of all, are we? And if we are, how can we lead the country and the rest of the world out of this economic malaise, this economic situation that we're in?
Well, I think we can go back and look at our history, and Americans have a great deal to be proud of. I mean, the founding fathers created the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you know, and really built a system that made it possible for the country to adapt and to evolve, and for individuals to sort of take responsibility to self-govern. You know, that's fantastic, and you know, 200 plus years later, we've really been able to kind of keep ourselves together. But you know, we're at a point where simply boasting that we're the greatest nation on earth, when the facts point to declining educational performance and science and math and reading and innovation metrics, we're losing our edge. And you know, the rest of the world has not been standing by; they've been catching up. And you know, now is the time where we really have to be able to do more than say we're number one.
Well, that's very true, and that's a major assertion in your book, Adrift, is that the United States has been coasting on its past achievements over the last few decades. Give us some examples of that, and then talk further about that point that you just said, the rest of the world is catching up. I mean, isn't it more a case, Steve, of the rest of the world is just catching up to the high bar that we've set?
Well, I to your last point, I think you're right. I mean, of course, you go back 20 or 30 years, China, India were really not on the radar the way they have been. But, you know, they've paid attention to how America prospered in the post-war period. And, you know, they've put in place policies and have been willing to engage in long-range planning, something that seems to be hard for Americans to do. You know, if you go back and look at, you know, really from the end of World War II, you know, we were at a point where America was the absolute preeminent economic leader. The rest of the world, obviously the countries that were part of the war, were devastated by what had happened. America really came out of that with a great economic power. And what happened at the same time was, you know, 1944 was when the Congress, Senate, and the House passed the GI Bill. You know, that was a legislation that sort of put in place the ability for millions of returning veterans to come home, to buy homes, to be able to go to school, and that really helped to build a stable middle class that we've benefited from really up till today. And the problem is, I mean, at that time, what was fantastic was that legislation, you know, bold, innovative legislation was actually agreed to unanimously by the House and Senate. You know, there was, during the time of Sputnik, you know, a decade later, you know, President Eisenhower responded to the satellite that there was, many people were calling for an aggressive military buildup. And instead, he saw it as a need for America to advance in science and technology, and he supported a big increase in science education and basic research, which created led to the creation of NASA, and it led to the groundwork for Kennedy's mission to the moon. And, you know, the thing is that work in science, that work in technology, that investment by the country, the sort of belief in America's kind of ability to achieve great things, you know, it led to a lot of the inventions and important technology of our world. I mean, the miniaturization of the computer, satellite telephones, many things. So the point is that there was really a commitment by the country to be able to do bold things with the idea that that's how we're able to actually prosper.
All right. My guest is Steve Beschloss, co-author of the book Adrift, Charting Our Course Back to a Great Nation. Steve, you just hit upon one of the central themes of your book is that the United States has to come together with a common purpose. I mean, you mentioned the GIs returning from World War II with the GI Bill, and then President Kennedy and NASA and the whole space race. The question is, can we have a common purpose as the United States? I mean, we're now a multicultural society. Some people sort of describe the American melting pots no longer a melting pot, it's the American salad where we have bits and pieces on top of one another. Can we have a common purpose? Can we focus our attention towards that common goal?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, we're living in times where there's a kind of, if you will, niche thinking, and a time where what divides us, what distinguishes us tends to be more a point of focus than what defines us as a people together. And, you know, look, it takes leadership, first of all. I mean, we talk about common purpose. It means a kind of relooking at, you know, hard work, excellence, purposeful action, the kind of things that are an antidote to, you know, declines in innovation and declines in education, the inability, the struggling that's going on in the middle class. I mean, these are all things that are not resolved, are not irresolvable, but it takes leadership that's able to actually, you know, combine people and ask them to sort of take a hard look at where we are. And that, you know, that's sort of the point we've had really for decades, politicians who've just been telling us what we want to hear and, not to our benefit.
Well, let's use the analogy a little bit further. I said the American melting pot is no longer the American melting pot. It's the salad with all of these cultures piled on top of one each other.
Yes.
In politics, we no longer have a left and a right. We no longer have Republicans, Democrats. Really, what we do is we have controlling special interests that drive this. And just recently, with the Supreme Court ruling that unlimited funds by any special interest or political action group can influence an election, we're going to see more and more of this political influence being asserted and less the will of the people. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we have increasingly partisan politicians, and their focus is on financing their next election and appealing to their base. It's easy to blame the politicians, and it's easy to blame a financing system which is very corrupt. There's no question. But you know, we also have an increasingly disengaged and disenchanted public that's not voting or otherwise participating. And what that means is that you have, particularly in the primary process, you have, you know, a very small percentage of Americans, less than 1 out of 10, that are actually voting for the candidates who end up in the general elections. What that means is you have the most impassioned on the margins of the left and the right, which leaves really the large population out. And, that means that the dialogue really ends up being hijacked by the most divisive from the left and the right. That's not good for the country.
My guest is Steve Beschloss. And Steve, you'd be thrilled to know this, that here in Ventura County, we have a unique opportunity. The next presidential debate for the GOP candidates is going to be held right here in the county at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. That's coming up on September the 7th. So we do have an unprecedented opportunity to participate in the American governmental system. But I want to ask you the follow-on question, Steve, and that is, can government really solve the problems? I mean, it was Albert Einstein that said, today's problems cannot be solved with the same level of thinking that created the problems in the first place. So do we need more government help, or are we better off to get government out of the way and let business and personal initiative lead the way?
Well, I think it's a combination. I mean, one of the things that we really emphasize in the book is the idea of public-private partnerships in so many sectors of life. In business and technology and innovation and in education, you know, these are all areas where we really focus on the role that business can play in partnership with the public sector. And you know, look, obviously we're at a point now with terrible fiscal trouble and extraordinary deficit that we have got to be able to put in order. And you know, that does mean taking a hard look at, you know, what's the government we want, but what's the government we can afford. And I think, you know, that dialogue is going to be going on for quite some time, obviously in the months ahead with this super commission that's coming into place. But I think it's important to remember, I mean, we have a country of more than 300 million people. You know, that many people, you need good and effective government to function and prosper. So I think it's not really a question, is it one or is it the other, but I think it's sort of thinking smartly about how does the private sector work with government, how does government actually play a role in being able to assist the efforts. So much of the innovations that have happened over the last 30, 40 years have really happened because of that kind of dialogue and that kind of partnership that's happened.
My guest is Steve Beschloss, co-author of the book Adrift, Charting Our Course Back to a Great Nation. So, Steve, we laid out some of the problems, as if my listeners didn't know what they were. What are some of the solutions? I mean, let's get back into it. You mentioned voting, and I think that's critical. Americans need to vote again. But what else can we do to get involved and put this thing back on the right track?
Well, voting is important. I mean, one other sort of piece of that, it's really about citizenship. I mean, there really does need to be more civic education. We have a sort of declining percentage of people who are knowledgeable about American history and American civics, American government. You know, the more people know, the more people are embedded in facts, you know, the better actually the decision-making and the dialogue will be publicly. I think beyond that, you know, it really, as I've talked about and we talk about in the book, is a refocus on innovation and spurring U.S. investment. And that includes companies that have moved their manufacturing and their research and development overseas. You know, we talk about cutting a corporate tax rate with an idea, you know, you cut away the games, you cut away the deductions, with the idea of being able to create a magnet where the United States can compete against the rest of the world, where, in general, the corporate tax rates are lower. You know, we talk about the importance of being able to make sure that the best and brightest from around the world who come to the U.S., they earn PhDs. Many of them are, in fact, in key areas of foreign students, computer science, technology, engineering, and we want to make sure that they're able to get the visas that they need so they can stay and actually help spur new developments. And then we talk about education and the importance of sort of supporting good teachers, you know, ones who possess subject matter expertise, which is so crucial to, you know, being able to turn things around and in student performance.
That is great. My guest is Steve Beschloss. Steve, who should read your book, Adrift?
Well, of course, we hope all Americans will. I mean, we really made a point of writing a book that draws ideas from the left and from the right, from progressive views and from conservative views, with the idea that we're at a point where, you know, bipartisanship is actually cooperation, communication, to be able to create an environment where people can actually talk to each other. So we hope that this is actually a book where people will get a frame for kind of what has happened, how we've gotten here, what we can do about it, and maybe it's possible that you can actually talk to your neighbors a little bit more if you read the book.
That is great. And Steve, what do you want readers to get out of reading the book, Adrift?
Well, you know, as I say, most of all, I think it's to understand kind of, you know, how we've gotten here, you know, in a way to understand we're at a point now where the United States is at risk of becoming a second-rate nation. That's not inevitable. We actually have the ability to solve this problem, and it does require us engaging. It does require leadership. It does require a kind of commitment to common purpose and communication.
My guest has been Steve Beschloss, co-author of the book Adrift, Charting Our Course Back to a Great Nation. Steve, you've got some pearls of wisdom there. If people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Thanks. You know, they can read more about the book on AdriftTheBook.com.
AdriftTheBook.com. That is great. Steve, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, so great to be with you.
Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.